And finally, always remind yourself that your track record for making it through bad days is perfect. You've survived every single one of them. Dang, that's good. Dang, is that good. And that is how we're going to wrap up our week. Thank you so much for joining us all week long. Everybody, it's been a lot of fun here on The Morning Show. Terry, have a great weekend.
You too.
We'll talk to you soon and later right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Storms that ripped through the South last night have killed at least 7 people in Georgia and Alabama. One tornado flipped mobile homes, tore roofs off homes, and knocked down power lines. Correspondent Omar Villafranca from Marbury, Alabama.
Another thing that we are starting to notice is vehicles and farm equipment. And it's almost as if this whole neighborhood was basically picked up, thrown into a blender, put on high, and then spit out. It's all part of a 20-mile path of destruction.
Just in from New York, a judge has imposed a $1.6 million fine on the Trump Organization after it was convicted of a scheme to dodge taxes by paying executives off the books with perks like free cars and free rent. There are questions surrounding the discovery of documents marked classified at 2 locations tied to President Biden and why the findings were not announced sooner. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe.
They have decided for now here at the White House to be legally transparent with the Justice Department, but not be straight with the American people and answer all the questions in hopes that the legal matter can be dealt with quickly and that they can move on.
There is grief in the music world where Lisa Marie Presley, Elvis' only child, has died after going into cardiac arrest at the age of 54. Correspondent Steve Futterman is in Los Angeles.
Paramedics came to the home of Lisa Marie Presley to respond to a medical emergency. There they administered CPR. They then took her to a nearby suburban LA hospital. Doctors, though, were not able to save her. Her death was announced by her mother, Priscilla. In a statement, she said, "It's with a heavy heart I must share the devastating news that my beautiful daughter has left us."
One of Lisa Marie's last media posts, social media posts, discussed her ongoing grief over her son's suicide in 2020. Troubling news about cancer found in men.
The American Cancer Society says prostate cancer deaths are on the rise in this country at a time when overall cancer deaths are falling.
More than 290,000 individuals will hear that they have prostate cancer this year.
Society CEO Dr. Karen Knutson says confusion over new screening guidelines could explain some of it. Prostate cancer is highly curable if detected early. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
The NFL playoffs kick off tomorrow in the month-long push to find a new Super Bowl champ. NFL analyst Bill Cowher with his top pick on CBS Mornings.
I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, I went to the Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We went there twice. Once in 1995 and in 2005. And both years we went, the year before we lost in the AFC Championship game.
Dow down 72. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Highs around 27 this afternoon under mainly cloudy skies, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows level off around 12. Partly cloudy again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 32. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Chance for mixed precipitation Monday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 22.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this January 13th, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Ashley Hansen, Special Events Manager with the Special Olympics, to talk a little Wisconsin Rapids Polar Plunge 23. Right now, joining us on the phone, Wisconsin's 71st Assembly District Representative, Ms. Katrina Schenklin. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. It's always good to catch up and hang out with you a bit, Katrina, especially to kick off this new year. How are you and yours? How's everybody been?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about you?
Doing good. Did you have a good New Year's?
I did, yes.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. This is a new year, so I thought one of the ways we could kind of start things off, if you don't mind, Katrina, is kind of first up going over your inauguration. And again, congratulations about that. And kind of looking at, you know, what's ahead for you, the beginning of this session, what goals you have, and kind of starting there, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Thank you. So Inauguration Day was last week, and it was really fantastic. It was wonderful to be back at the Capitol. I will say in the State Assembly, there was a lot of turnover. There were a lot of new people for me to meet in both parties, and I'm still learning everyone's names.
Yeah, is everybody really wearing name tags? Is everybody walking around?
No. Believe it or not, no. You kind of have to go up to people you don't recognize and just ask where they're from and which district they represent and congratulate them on their election and their opportunity to serve in the legislature as well. So I did a lot of that on Inauguration Day. And once we were sworn in, we had, you know, several votes that really just determined the calendar and things like that. But what was interesting this time was we also had a bipartisan reception afterwards for the first time that I've ever seen, and it is a totally new thing. So that was at a hotel just off the square in Madison, and I think 260 people signed up. So that's, you know, legislators from the assembly and their spouses, inauguration guests. I brought three guests as well and spent a lot of time talking to some of the newer members, so I had an opportunity to get to know their names and where they're from and, you know, what they've been up to and why they ran for office. And then I also went and found some of the people I've worked with across party lines in the past to catch up with them, see how, you know, their fall was, since many of us were on the campaign trail this past fall, and then kind of ask some questions about what's ahead and if we can work together and talk about what we would like to work on together. So it was a great opportunity, and it felt like a really fresh start. What I noticed when I saw Governor Evers sworn in and Attorney General Call sworn in, they both talked about bipartisanship and the opportunity to work together. And then in the assembly, when our speaker was also voted on, he talked about bipartisanship too. And that is a little bit of a new thing where I've heard, you know, every main state leader from both parties talk about bipartisanship and the need to work together. That's something I've always believed in and worked really hard on, because I know that, you know, we here in Central Wisconsin need results, and that requires bipartisanship, and it's just a good way to conduct business. But to see our state leaders all calling on the legislature and all of us together to work together was really meaningful, and I have a lot of optimism for this session.
I think we can all take a little bit of hope in that. Couple of things, Katrina. First up, the bipartisan luncheon, that sounds like a really good idea. It's cool to hear that took place. And especially with some of the newer people that you're meeting and newer people there, hopefully that they don't come in maybe with some of the old politics or maybe some old things that, you know, they're bringing old grudges or any of these kind of things. Because you touched on something I think that is really important, and every representative I have on the air with us, this comes up, and it's been coming up for years. This idea that we need to get things done in this state, and this idea of, well, you know, this side isn't working with this side, and that, I'll tell you, if there's one thing that Republican Democrats have in common as far as voters go. They're frustrated. They're frustrated with not more getting done. And the only way to get things done is for you guys to get along. And you saying that you see a little bit of hope in that, I think that not only do the, you know, your constituents, the people, the masses feeling some of that too, but it's the only way we're going to get that to happen. Is those, not only those relationships being built, but even the hope, the idea that it can happen. I think that even needs to get going, even just the idea of it. And there's one other thing, Katrina, that stands out to me with this too. And I almost feel like it's, whether it's organic or it's intentional, this is something that Wisconsin almost, I don't want to say has to take the forefront on, but we are the purple state. And the rest of the country looks at us that way. And if we can't get along and we can't make things work in this state, it shows a lot of less hope for the rest of the country. So I don't mean to put that on our shoulders, and I'm not saying it's our responsibility, but it is something that we stand out as.
Absolutely. And I do think as legislators and elected officials, like our state constitutional officers, it is our responsibility to be to model good behavior and to show that we can work together regardless of party or regardless of disagreement. I mean, every person in workplaces and in families and in communities is going to disagree with another person. And it is incumbent on all of us as citizens and community members to learn how to get along with people when we do disagree and to communicate that in a civil and kind and hopefully thoughtful way. And that's something that I think we can and should do in the legislature as well. But we also have the need to show the rest of the country that it can be done, especially in a purple state like Wisconsin. And I do think, you know, what I've seen following the news the last few weeks of what some of our state leaders have been saying about issues like shared revenue and medical marijuana, where, you know, they have ideas about how we might be able to compromise and work together on getting something done, that does provide more than a glimmer of hope for me, because in the past, you know, typically the tone of the beginning of the legislative session, the majority party lays out, you know, the things they want to get done, and there really is not much of an invitation to work together. This time there was an actual entreaty, let's work together, come to my office, we'll talk. I did that right away, and I'll continue to do that. I made sure to meet with the governor yesterday when I was in the Capitol. I also went to the Speaker's office and asked for a meeting with him so that way I can work with both parties and both the legislative and executive branch to weigh in on what are the issues that are facing people in Central Wisconsin and make sure everyone in Central Wisconsin's voices are heard on the matter.
Let's go ahead and touch on some of those topics too. You mentioned shared revenue. Why don't we start there?
Yeah, so shared revenue is really the largest source of state aid for our local communities. So when you think about key government services like police, fire, and EMS, garbage pickup, maintaining our roads and plowing them, all of that is primarily funded by the shared revenue. And really what shared revenue is it's your tax dollars. The state collects tax dollars and returns it back to municipalities, but they don't return the exact amount back that came from every town, village, and city and county. So that's why it's called shared revenue, where the state collects it and then shares it back with our local communities. This is a huge issue, and it's the one that I've seen the most movement on in a very short amount of time. I actually campaigned on this every single day of my campaign for months. People are really talking a lot about property taxes and how they continue to go up, especially in communities that have voted to raise their own property taxes for a referendum related to a public school district or other issues. In fact, I think 20 different communities across the state in the last year actually voted to raise their own property taxes to fund public safety, police, fire, and EMS. And I think that's a great thing to fund police, fire, and EMS, but I don't think the burden for funding it should be on individual taxpayers voting to do so. That should be part of the package deal of paying your taxes in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what shared revenue is. The concept is that we are not getting our fair share from the state when they bring back the dollars that they collected of our tax money, like our sales tax, for example, our income tax. And so the goal is to bring more of it back to our local communities so that they don't have to raise taxes. And what really is striking here is when I talk to local municipalities and communities that I represent, they'll tell me how many hundreds of thousands of dollars minimum they are in the hole right now unless something changes going into next year. At the same time that our state has a $6.6 billion surplus, and that is a historic record. But it also shows that in our next budget, not that we have to spend all of it, but we can be incredibly thoughtful and measured about increasing the amount of shared revenue that goes back to all of our local communities so they don't have to ask their residents to vote to raise their own property taxes to fund police, fire, and EMS, for example. And that is something that I think should get bipartisan support. When I was on the campaign trail talking about this idea, not a single person disagreed with it, and they're all relieved to think perhaps we can keep property taxes flat moving forward if we solve the shared revenue issue. Over time, shared revenue from the state to local communities has gone way down, and that's why so many people are asking for it. And I know that there is interest in both parties to do something about this issue. So I'm actually really excited about it because I think it could help many people who are struggling with the cost of their property taxes. At a minimum, we should be keeping things flat. And in the future, we should look at a better and more fair shared revenue formula so that we don't have to worry about property taxes continuing to go up. So that's a priority for me because it does invest so heavily in public safety if we do it right. And it also helps people stay in their homes.
Looking at the crystal ball here and everything, what do you think the likelihood of this working, this going into play, this happening?
I think it's very likely. I think the biggest question is, what does the formula look like? Will we keep the formula and just increase the percentage? Or we look at if the model, which is an older model, is broken, and will we change the funding formula so that we don't have to keep going back to it? And that's a question that I don't have an answer to yet. But what I have asked of state leaders is I've offered to be part of discussions if there are study committees or work groups on it that are bipartisan. That's what I prefer. I think when we put heads together from all over the state, that would really provide a good model for moving forward. And I know here in Central Wisconsin, we have a lot of small rural communities that feel like the state forgets about them sometimes, and that's why I want to make sure I'm in the room when we're talking about these issues, because I know the town of Grant, for example, is one of the, it's actually the largest town in Portage County in terms of square mileage, but they, if you talk to them about their road replacement schedule, they have so many miles of road that, and they're getting so little aid from the state, that over time, it looks like their road replacement schedule is over 100 years to get to each road in the county. So that kind of tells you how much more we could do. And to be clear, there are state-level road aids, and I just had a meeting about that and asked for that kind of formula to be changed to make sure our more rural roads get their fair shake too. But it's just an example of how, you know, a lot of small rural communities in Central Wisconsin need additional attention, and that's something that I think we should be working on together.
And I don't mean to go off on a side tangent or anything, but I do want to bring attention to, you said something in that I thought was really noteworthy, that you didn't know, that you weren't sure, but you were looking to figure it out, and you're working with other people to figure it out. I think we need to normalize that with politicians, with really anybody in leadership positions. I never voted for somebody because I thought they had all the answers. You know, and the idea that politicians can change their minds or can grow, or that they don't know the answers to something, but they're looking to figure it out. Like, that's okay. That's being human. And we seem to have gotten away from that a little bit. I appreciate that. I really, really do. And I don't think it's something that we can just skate past. It need to have that more and more in our society and be okay with that. We're speaking with Representative Katrina Shankland, and continuing the conversation, Katrina, I wanted to ask about workforce development a little bit more, economic opportunities. What are things in 2023 that you're looking for to do with those in those fields?
Yeah, so we know that everybody is facing the significant cost of inflation, right? And we know that for many people, their costs are not keeping up. The increased cost of inflation is not keeping up with their wages. So I want to talk more about that and see what we can do on the state level, especially as it relates to bringing home supply chains so we can help prevent these huge inflationary increases in the future. I've again, on the campaign trail, talk to a lot of people in their homes and at their businesses on their farms about not only supply chain issues, but the long-term cost of how long they would have to wait for equipment that they ordered. In some cases, it was 6 or 8 months, and it was $50,000, $60,000, even $70,000 more than it was 2 years ago. And so that not only is a huge hit to their bottom line if they're running an agricultural business, for example, but that also affects their workers. And so I want to look at ways the state can help with that. And I am the ranking member of the Workforce Development and Economic Opportunities Committee. Usually that committee is just called Workforce Development. I think they added on Economic Opportunities because they want us to look at the workforce shortage, potentially, you know, inflationary issues as it relates to that, and how we can work together to help not only ensure our employers are getting what they need to succeed, but also their employees, our working families across Wisconsin. And so looking at childcare, making childcare affordable, I think childcare is one of the biggest impediments to, you know, solving and enhancing our workforce issues, I should say, but protecting the workforce in a way that actually solves the long-term problem. We know that people are moving jobs right now, and especially after the pandemic, or at the beginning of the pandemic, people, you know, were reevaluating things. And we know that there's still some turnover. What we want to do is help people who actually want to get back into the workforce. I've heard from a lot of families who would say, look, if we could find child care in a way that is sustainable for us, that's reliable, like we're on two wait lists, then we could do another part-time job, for example. That's one thing that we know is an impediment, and we know that there are child care deserts across the state. So that's something I think we could tackle in the Workforce Development Committee, as well as looking at not only inflation, but supply chain issues, since that was a huge part of the problem. And Wisconsin has been and is a very strong manufacturing state, but what is Wisconsin doing right now to ensure that manufacturers might want to come here and take advantage of the workforce that is very well known for, you know, working incredibly hard? And so if we want to do things like that, we have to solve the workforce shortage issues as well. And so they kind of go hand in hand, working on issues like childcare, making sure people have access to reliable transportation to and from work. So there's some programs around the state that do that. We can expand those, and then really talking to employers about their short and long-term needs as it relates to workforce. And some of it is skills training and funding some of our workforce training grants that the state has. Mm-hmm. But I think we also have to look at those systemic issues as well to kind of solve the problem in as much as we can, even though we know that there are really demographic issues at state as well.
Well, and you talk about these hand in hand, and I completely agree. And I don't think it takes much to see that connection there. I think that also hand in hand to that, if you're asking businesses to come to state, one of the things most businesses, especially big conglomerates, are looking at is how do you treat your employees? What is your childcare system like in your state? You really want to bring other businesses and more jobs, and that is one of the ways to do it as well, showing that, hey, we care about moms. We care about, you know, parents in general, and having better childcare, having more accessibility to childcare, all these things that you mentioned there. There are two big ones in 2023 to me that really need to be addressed and cannot wait till 2024. That is one of the biggest ones, is childcare in this state, mainly because of how much it bleeds into so many other things that we're talking about and that are issues. And like, oh, you want more of this? Well, this is one of the things you got to do first.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really the core basis of how we can enhance workforce participation and strengthen Wisconsin families, which should be a goal of ours. You know, we want to make it possible for people to feel like, yeah, I can, if I want to work and have kids at the same time, I can. And I know a lot of young people feel like, how am I going to do that if there's a child care wait list of 2 years? How is that possible, right? Yeah. So, you know, if there's a demographic issue, which it is in our state, where we have baby boomers retiring, we don't have enough young people to replace them. And there are countries like Denmark that actually ran campaigns encouraging people to have kids. You have to have, as you said, that strong infrastructure of childcare, preschool, a strong K-12 public school system, which I believe Wisconsin, you know, very much supports. But we have to get that early childhood part really not only well-funded, but well-supported. And child care providers will tell you, you know, there are certain programs like Wisconsin Shares that we can work on together to enhance and support more of. And I think that that is a great place to start in the new year.
Well said. And the number one thing, I think, and really, it was the first conversation that you and I had. I was looking at this. We've been doing this. You and I have been talking for about 4 or 5 years now, Katrina. And this was one of the first topics we talked about, water quality.
Absolutely.
And doing something about this. Now, in 2023, what do you think can what ground can we grow? Can we break on this subject in 2023, do you think?
Yeah, so there are two new programs that I helped launch through a bipartisan bill I wrote with a farmer who's also a legislator, and they are related to nitrogen optimization, which is when you're loading your commercial fertilizer, and it helps farmers actually optimize the amount that they're using without overusing, which costs them money and also can leach into the ground via runoff. So that program where you can get paid additional incentives to work with UW system researchers on finding their optimal amount of commercial nitrogen, that program application ends January 31st this year. So does the cover crop insurance rebate program where you can get paid as a farmer $5 per acre for not only there are also cover crop incentives, but this is specifically for cover crop insurance. You get a rebate. Mm-hmm. So that's a new rebate program, which I'm really excited about. So I wanted to mention that for farmers who are interested in applying. You can go to DADCAP's website, and both applications are on there. The application ends January 31st. And then the other program I helped launch in August is open on an ongoing basis, and that's a $10 million program to support people who have private contaminated wells. If your well is contaminated with nitrate above 10 parts per million, all you need is two affirmative or confirmatory well tests that show that from a certified lab, and your income should be below $100,000 as a business or your personal income, and then your business or your home's contaminated private well, whatever solution you choose, whether it's reverse osmosis, a new well, maybe you need a well repair, like a new casing, whatever it is, that will 100% be covered up to the cost of $16,000 by the state. Now, this is a reimbursement program that I worked really hard with the governor to launch. I'm very excited about it. I've had a number of constituents call me to let me know they were successful and super grateful to get that check in the mail and get a new well or a new reverse osmosis in some cases. But I want people to know about it because there are many people in central Wisconsin who still don't have access to clean drinking water from their taps. And this is a solution that will help them. So I wanted to spread the word on that. And that application is on the DNR's website. If you just type in DNR well compensation, it should come up first thing.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for mentioning that. I was gonna get that web address out there. Appreciate it, Katrina. We've only got a couple minutes left, and we got a topic that would take an hour to get into. But I did want to just touch on medical marijuana a little bit with you, especially since recently Governor Evers again proposed marijuana legislation in the state budget.
Mm-hmm. And this is another issue where both parties are actually talking about it for once, and the Senate Republicans, which has been kind of, I would say, the least tractable on this issue, started saying they might be close to the votes. And so I wanted to flag that as an issue that I will be watching over the next few years and working on, because I know personally, I hear from veterans all the time who are very interested in making sure medical marijuana is legalized. But I also hear from people who are suffering from chronic pain, chronic illness, in some cases, people who are struggling with cancer diagnoses. And I believe that we need to make this accessible. So I think that there's finally some movement from my colleagues across the aisle on this issue. I don't know if they have the votes yet, but I want to encourage people, if they are interested in this topic, to call their legislators, give them a call, just call their office and let them know that you're interested, that you would like to see some movement. And in some cases, you know, don't be afraid to ask for a meeting and share your viewpoint with them if you're interested, because I do think, especially on the Senate side of things, that's where we really need support right now. And they recently signaled that they would be interested. So I believe we need to push on this. And Wisconsin is an island right now. And I think, you know, people are going to other states to access it. I've heard from people with chronic back pain, as one example, who go up to Michigan or go over to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And so we need to do something about that. And this is another focus of mine in this legislative session.
We're behind on this topic. We're behind on it. If you don't care about the people that are suffering and in pain, maybe we can approach you on an economic level, because our farmers could use this. Our ag industry could use it. You don't have to look very far to see how it has benefited other states. And it's important to be, and it's also important to relieve people of concerns when it comes to this. So I'm so glad you touched on that. If you have questions, be sure to ask your representatives. Reach out to people that you know you trust. There are trusted news sources out there. Go to those and really research this topic, because, as you said, we're a little on an island on this one, and it's time that we catch up. If not for it, certainly for the people that are in pain first and foremost, but if any other reason, economically, for our farmers, there's a lot of reasons to be going forward with this.
Very well said. The economic benefit is very significant, and I really appreciate that.
You know, Katrina, I hate to do this, but I do have to end on a hardball question with you, because, you know, that's what I do around here. New Year's resolutions, yes or no? Do you believe in them? No. Do you think they're silly? How do you feel about New Year's resolutions?
A great question. I'm a no. I like to set intentions so that there's not a deadline, and you just kind of set an intention for the next year of how you're going to carry yourself and what you're going to be doing. And my intention is really to be even more open to new opportunities, to meet with people, to talk with people, to never negotiate with myself and say, don't ask, because they're just going to say no anyway. And I'm trying to do even more, being kind of an open book with people, especially in the legislature, and offering the opportunity to work. So that was my intention this year.
I dig that. That's really good. I like that. Katrina, always a blast talking with you. Thank you so much for the time. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Sounds great. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Representative, Wisconsin State Representative Katrina Shanklin there. Always appreciate the time. Stick around, everybody. Coming up, we're going to talk with Special Olympics here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Is the cost of college weighing you down? Don't worry. There is a ton of untapped federal financial aid available right now. The University of Wisconsin system has financial aid experts across the state waiting to help you finish the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. Go to wisconsin.edu for more information, and FAFSA will show you the money, but only if you fill it out. Sponsored by the University of Wisconsin system.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Highs around 27 this afternoon under mainly cloudy skies, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows level off around 12. Partly cloudy again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 32. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Chance for mixed precipitation Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 22.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this January 13th, 2023. It is 10:34 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. here. I am joined right now by Ashley Hansen. She is the Special Events Manager with Special Olympics Wisconsin. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time. I got to get this out of the way journalistically. I am very biased with Special Olympics. I got the chance to work with Special Olympics when I was living out in California. Changed my life. I love you guys. I love what you guys do for our communities, for our people. Appreciate it so much. So I have no like journalistic integrity with this interview whatsoever. Big fan of what you guys do.
That is great. Thank you so much.
And I was thinking about this, Ash. When it comes to the Special Olympics, I think that at this point in society, we understand, we've heard Special Olympics, we know who they are, we think we do. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to get into the history of Special Olympics, and then certainly dive into the Polar Plunge 2023 and really encourage people to get in on that. So do you mind if we start there?
Sure. So Special Olympics as a whole, Special Olympics is worldwide, but it was started in Chicago by Kennedy Eunice Shriver. She is actually the sister of John F. Kennedy, mm-hmm. and it was started in 1968. The first Special Olympics Games were actually held at Soldier Field. In 1972, Wisconsin adopted Special Olympics and started the Wisconsin chapter. So each state Special Olympics is run independently. However, like I said, we are a worldwide organization, and we all work together. In the state of Wisconsin, we have 155 local programs. So our local programs are the communities that actually run our sporting events. We like to think of it like a Culver's franchise. So our staff, we are the headquarters, and then our local programs are the actual franchises. They are the ones who run the practices, who are the coaches, our athletes, and we have about 7,000 athletes across the state of Wisconsin right now.
Wow. Wow, is that cool. And I love the Culver's metaphor.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Yes.
That's perfect. And it really, you know, you hear that, and I think it really brings it home to people. You know, some of those numbers you mentioned there, the history of this event, how long it's been going on. You bring up a name like, the Kennedys,
yes.
which is you know, close as we get to royalty in this country and stuff.
Yes.
And all these things, like, it really brings it home, I think, to people, like, oh, this is so much bigger than maybe even I've really realized, no matter how big you make it. And when it comes to the way you touched on something else there that I think is really cool about this organization, that since its inception, it's always worked together with other organizations. The
yes.
communication is always there. The Special Olympics here in Wisconsin is familiar with the Special Olympics out in California and vice
yes.
versa and everything.
Yeah, so we have 5 state games a year round in the state of Wisconsin, but then every 4 years, and this just happened this past summer, 2022, there was a USA Games that happened in Orlando, where states get to send as many representatives qualify to the state games. We had about 68 athletes represent Wisconsin this past summer in Orlando. And then coming up this year in 2023 is the World Games, which is actually happening in Berlin, Germany. Mm-hmm. And we have 2 athletes right now who are qualifying, and I believe they aren't locked in yet to go, but hopefully we'll be able to send those 2 athletes on Team USA
yeah.
to Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, before we go into the Polar Plunge and getting into some of this and everything, if you don't mind, especially when somebody first joins us, we like to get their origin story, like
sure.
to find out a little bit more about them. What got you to want to be a part of Special Olympics?
So I am actually from the Stevens Point area, and I went to school in La Crosse. And when I was home for the summers, the person who used to be in my position, Jordan Becker, was a good friend of mine from the Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers. And like I said, she was in my position looking for part-time help. I was home for the summers from college, so I started interning with Jordan, and I helped her organize our Run with the Cops event that happens every October. And then once I went back to school, she set me up with the person in La Crosse who runs their Polar Plunge. So I became really involved in the La Crosse Polar Plunge all throughout college. After I graduated, I moved back to this area, and there was a job opening. Jordan was no longer with the company, so I ended up in her position, and it was great. I got to bring a lot of experience, which is something not a lot of our staff have, is having the experience of actually running some of our events
mm-hmm.
before they're in the full-time position.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice advantage, a little way to go into that.
Definitely.
Jordan's awesome.
Yes.
That's really great to hear. And what a great fit for you. But I got to say, it's, you know, it's not something that it's not a field that you just pick up because, well, I need a job.
Right.
This is a passion. You go into this because you care. You don't join Special Olympics to become a millionaire. You do it because you care, along with wanting to, of course, keep the lights on and everything.
Definitely.
I admire that when I see that in people. And if I could be honest, especially in younger people, I think that it's so cool that we see, especially like even when I was out in California, you saw that like the majority of people that were volunteering, young people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that there's something to that, and it should be noted. We so often the older generations pick on the younger generations. We need to get better about giving credit where it's due. And the younger generation, especially yours,
yes,
really stepping up, really like not necessarily waiting for us to retire and get out of the way. You guys are just doing things, and I admire that.
Definitely.
I want to take our time with getting into the Polar Plunge. So let's go ahead and get our break out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Come back, and we'll dive right into Wisconsin Rapids Polar Plunge 2023.
Of course.
We'll be back with more with Ashley and our friends at Special Olympics here on Morty Magazine coming up on WFHR.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 27. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 12 tonight. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Highs level off around 32. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Mixed precipitation possible at times Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine, our final one of the week. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour, speaking with Ashley Hansen, Special Events Manager with Special Olympics Wisconsin. And again, thanks for being here, Ashley.
Yeah, thank you again for having me.
Want to talk about the 2023 Wisconsin Rapids Polar Plunge. Before we get centered on that, let's mm-hmm. talk about Wisconsin and Special Olympics for a second.
Yeah, so this is the 25th anniversary of the Polar Plunge in the state of Wisconsin. It started in 1998 in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Plungers plunged into Lake On, Alaska. And from there, we have just grown the event every single year. This year, there will be 8 locations across the state, including Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool to see how it's grown over the years.
Definitely. It's grown in number of plungers, number of supporters. We have statewide recognition. This is actually a countrywide event, and Wisconsin obviously has the advantage of having some of the coldest temperatures, which I actually think make the coolest event.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree with you, 1,000%. Because I've seen this in like California and everything. And it's fun. It's not nearly as exciting. Or, to be honest, doesn't bring the masses out like this one does here in this state. Which is kind of funny, considering it's warmer out there. You'd think you'd have more people showing up. But no, actually more people show up for ours out here. And it happens every year. And it just blows me away. It's awesome. It's also something that I know a lot of Wisconsinites take pride in. It's one of those things that's so cool. Just like you support your sports teams, they support something like this.
Yeah. People definitely take it as a bragging right that they've been able to jump in the water, and especially if they continue to do it year after year.
Yes, yes. In fact, that's so good you mentioned that. That's really noteworthy. I don't think there's many people that I know that plunge that when they tell me they're plunging, it's my eighth year, it's my seventh year. Yeah, right. It's always that. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, this will be my sixth year, so I always make sure to bring that up.
Now let's talk a little bit about our local Wisconsin Rapids Polar Plunge 2023. Let's talk about what people can expect at the event and how they can sign up for it. First, for somebody that's never done this before, Ashley, and I'm hearing about this on the radio and it sounds really exciting and I love Special Olympics. I want to be a part of this. What can I expect?
So the plunge this year will be February 4th at Anchor Bay Bar and Grill. The plunge is starting at 11 a.m. Check-in is starting at 8:30 a.m. If you'd like to sign up, you can go to plungewi.org. Basically, what you can expect when you come to the event, we will have an event tent where we're holding registration. There will be a photo opportunity. We have an awesome backdrop with you can take photos with Chili Bear, who is our mascot. There will be music, food, and drinks. There will be hot chocolate. I know Anchor Bay is putting together an awesome signature drink, so you can look forward to that. The plunging will kick off with one of our athletes, Cole Cleworth. He is the king of the Wisconsin Rapids plunge. Raises about $10,000 every single year on
Shout
his
out to
own.
Cole.
Yeah, which is amazing. So he always kicks off the plunge, and then after that, our teams will begin plunging. There will be hot tubs at the event. After you get all dried off and warm again, we have a band starting. Southbound is going to be playing at Anchor Bay.
Nice.
Right after plunging wraps up. So overall, it's going to be a great event, full day, family event. Bring everyone out. It's going to be awesome.
For those that haven't plunged before, are there some things that you should know health-wise? Is there, you know, certainly make sure that you are healthy enough to be doing this. But, you know, that aside, doing the plunge itself, you know, have somebody there with a warm blanket ready to wrap you up. I mean, things like that.
Yes. So we will have towels available, but don't forget to bring all of your warm clothes. You can wear them right down to the plunge hole. I would hate to have anyone waiting around in shorts and a t-shirt, even if it's only for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So make sure you wear all your clothes down. We'll have baskets you can set your stuff in. You plunge in the hole. We do have a safety crew. Wood County Rescue will be in the water, as well as having an ambulance on site. So we have taken all of the safety precautions on our end. Once you get out of the hole, you can grab your basket with all your warm clothes, hop in the hot tub for a couple minutes, and then we have heated changing trailers on site provided by Plainfield Trucking for you to change back into your warm clothes really quick. My number one tip if you want to stay warm is try and keep your hair dry. I have plunged and gone all the way under before, and it is significantly colder than if you keep your head above the water.
That is really good. No, that's a great tip there. I almost feel like we should have started the show with that. Like before we even introduce you, just tell people that.
Definitely.
That's a very good tip. I am planning on doing this one these years, so that is with my hair, that's really important to know. That's really good. There's also I also don't want people to, because and I'm just as I just said, I have not done this, but everybody that has done it has told me it's not nearly as bad as you might think, and it really, you do warm up relatively quickly if you have those things that Ashley was talking about nearby.
Yeah, it does take your breath away, but it only lasts for a couple minutes, and then you're changed, you're dry, your adrenaline is going so fast that you heat up pretty quickly. And again, we do have the tent on site will be heated as well, and the restaurant will be open and operating regularly as well if you'd like to go inside and order food and all of that. So there will be plenty of opportunities to get warm.
Well, and I'll tell you the same thing that our coaches told us in football and everything, that the scars are, you know, that the aches and pains, they're temporary. Victory is eternal.
Exactly.
You know, the bragging rights you get from doing something like this, the rest of your life you'll have. So it's very worth it. And certainly, most importantly, you are helping one of the greater organizations in the world. Not just our country, not just our state, state in the world. They do such good work. And by simply jumping in the cold water, you are helping an organization do some really, really good things in thousands of communities around the world.
Definitely. The cool part about our plunges, a lot of our athletes come out and actually take the plunge themselves. A lot also just come out and support. If the weather is warm enough, we're going to have cornhole boards set out outside before the plunge. Cornhole is the number one growing sport in the state of Wisconsin for our athletes. We newly introduced it in 2020, so athletes could stay socially distanced during the pandemic but still compete. And we would love to have the chance for our local plungers, local community members to come and play cornhole with our athletes. I think they could definitely learn a thing or two about the sport, and also just interacting with the athletes will make you feel more connected to the cause overall.
I'm glad you touched on this, Ashley. This is one of the things that I like to bring up from time to time. The way I was raised was just, I understood all religions, all creeds, all these different things. It was very important to my mom and dad that I didn't have any biases towards people. Mm-hmm. But there was one group of people that did kind of get lost in the shuffle, that slipped through the cracks on that, and that was people with disabilities. And I wasn't around a lot of that growing up. So when I first got to be, I tended to be the person that went way too above and beyond, mm-hmm. way too like, oh, let me do that for you, let me do this for you, and a lot of these things. And I didn't quite understand. And as I got older, and I go to school out here in Wisconsin, I meet a friend of mine, Jeremy Osborne, and I shout out to Ozzy, who had cerebral palsy, and spending a lot of time with Jeremy and being one of the greatest friends I'll ever have. And Jeremy really changed this world for me, to where I understand a little bit better now of, you know, the way to react and handle things around people with disabilities like you would anybody else. Like, right. You know, just completely normal, completely. But it took me a long time to get there. I think that that's also a power of Special Olympics, of having this normalized more, of people feeling more comfortable and more normal with this. Because it's really, and again, not to speak for people, other people, but every person that I've ever talked to, a part of Special Olympics or a person with a disability, it's all they want. Mm-hmm. They just want to be treated normal.
Definitely. This is something we're hearing from all of our athletes who are actually working. I had the chance last night actually to meet Governor Tony Evers. Nice. To touch on this a little bit. So Special Olympics, one thing people don't know, we offer a lot more than sports, and we do offer our athletes to get health care provided to them for free, and we are working with the state to get more funding for this. And one thing we're hearing from our athletes, when they go to the doctor, what they really want is just to be treated like normal and to not have their disability be the only thing that is touched on. Yes, they have Down syndrome, but that might not be the reason they're at this appointment today. And sometimes they feel like their other things don't get heard because people only see their disabilities. So we are really trying to advocate for that across the state with local community members, with healthcare providers, with really everyone, that we really need to just look past people's intellectual disabilities and see them as valued members of our community that they are.
I imagine that there's, because I want to talk about some of the features and go into some of those again. You mentioned music, some yes. of the appetite things that are going to be there. But one of the things that I also wanted to bring up was, we focus so much on ourselves and so much of our community members being a part of this. I hope people also take a time when you're looking around, when you're enjoying this event, to the actual Special Olympics participants, to the people there, mm-hmm. and seeing the enjoyment on their faces and how much they enjoy these events. For me, it's my favorite part. I can't imagine for you, Ashley, for your team, for people that work literally with the Special Olympics, what it's got to mean for you guys.
Definitely. I'm so blessed to have a job that I am so passionate about. It's so awesome to see the... Sometimes, you know, I work every day 8 to 4 at a desk, and sometimes I forget that what I'm doing is actually truly making a difference. So when I see our athletes at these events, at our sporting events, it really does touch my heart and really makes all of our work worth it.
Well said. We mentioned that there will be live music. Southbound going to be down there. We love those guys. They've joined us on the air here before and everything. Great band. And they will kick off after the plunge wraps up. But so there will also be hot cocoa down there, some food, drinks, that kind of thing.
Yep, signature drinks, Anchor Bay. Like I said, they're working on making an awesome signature drink. I don't know what it's going to be yet. Mm. Their bartenders are whipping something up. Mm. They will have their regular food. If the weather permits, again, we will have food available outdoors as well as drinks outdoors. Otherwise, everything will always be operating in the restaurant as normal. I'd also like to thank our biggest sponsors, Ho-Chunk Gaming, Nakusa, and Conexus Credit Union. Without them, this event wouldn't be possible either.
Big shout out to both of them. And yes. Yeah, Anchor Bay, you can have a glass of water there and you're going to enjoy yourself. It's a great place. And they'll come up with something really good, I'm sure.
Definitely.
And, of course, there are going to be photo moments. That's a cool idea, too. I like this.
Yeah. So I actually called on my father-in-law, who I believe is listening to this right now. Mm. To make a photo backdrop for us that we are going to have at the plunge. We're going to have a balloon arch around it so people can take these awesome photos, share it on social media, take a photo with Chili Bear. Then maybe more friends and family will want to join in next year. And every year, we're just going to watch this event grow.
Yeah, this is one of the greatest things about this event to me is that it's something that everybody can be a promoter of. Everybody can promote this and celebrate it and talk about it, especially if you have done it. And if you've never done it before, give it a shot. And I guarantee you will be a promoter of this the next year.
Definitely. It's awesome to see the age range of plungers. You know, we have a ton of high school students coming out this year to plunge, but we also have people all the way up into their 50s, 60s, maybe even some 70-year-olds taking the plunge. It's great to see that this can really be truly a family event and something anyone can enjoy. We also have a program called our Polar Pledger program. If you aren't necessarily brave enough or healthy enough to take the plunge, you can still raise funds for this awesome cause. Come out, enjoy the event, and also get the incentives of the event as well without having to actually jump in the water.
There is going to be merch down there as well. Ashley is wearing a really cool sweater here from Polar Plunge. I got to get one of those. I got to get more of that gear, Special Olympics gear, and get it there. They're yes. going to have things down there that you can purchase, and it will go right to helping Special Olympics.
Yes, all of our proceeds go directly to Special Olympics. We will have some cold is cool is our theme this year for our merch. That is what's going to be on.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, all the t-shirts, sweatshirts, beanies, and the more money you raise, the more incentives you will get.
Actually, I'd like to take the time now to talk about Chili Bear. I don't know. I'd like to know a little bit more about Chili Bear going to be down there. Wanted to mention that as well. Yes. That's a great mascot. Very excited about that. Let's get into the details again one more time for people. This event is going on Saturday, February 4th. When do things kick off? When does registration start?
Registration will be open at 8:30 a.m. And then our opening ceremony is taking place at 11 a.m., which is going to be followed immediately by plunging will start right around 11:10. Again, our athlete Cole will be kicking off the plunge, and then all of our teams after that will begin plunging.
Yeah, big shout out to Cole. Yes. He's a great guy. When it comes to the registration process, is this something I forgot to register and it's the day of and mm-hmm. everything, can I register at the event?
You can always walk up, register at our events. We are requiring that people fundraise $100 to take the plunge. So as long as you have your $100, you can walk right up and register. The only thing with that, we are guaranteeing incentives for people who are registered a week in advance. We would love to have anyone come up and you might just not get your t-shirt on the day. We would mail it a little later. So if you want that awesome Cold is Cool t-shirt on the day of, make sure you register now and fundraise now so we can make sure to order that for you.
Well, and I'm glad we touched on that too, because you still got some time here. You got a little less than a month, but yes. You still got some time to raise that $100 and everything. And, you know, the way that our communities are, I have a hard time believing you won't be able to come up with it. We got a lot of good people out there, a lot of givers. And this is a fun opportunity for you to really put into the Special Olympics.
Definitely. Yeah. Make sure you ask your friends and family, your employer. It's not as, I know $100 might seem a little daunting, but as you get started and you're advocating for a really good cause, the money will come easily.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I like the idea of people doing this because certainly, you know, you're literally helping Special Olympics by doing this and that impact. But I like the idea of people getting in a little bit of a taste of what it's like to work with work at Special Olympics and you guys having to do this kind of thing all the time. Kind of gives us a little taste of like what it is like and maybe some empathy and some understanding of that, which is a huge part of what Special Olympics is creating empathy, more and more of that in our society, and having more of that, not just for these contestants, but for all of ourselves, for everybody.
Yeah, truly. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis, is just try to share the mission of Special Olympics and create more inclusive communities. And the way we can do that is by raising funds. So this, our whole entire programming wouldn't be possible without events like Polar Plunge.
You're good. You're good at this, Ashley. I want to tell you that one of the references I've had for a lot of this is SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org. It's all one word, SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org. You can find out a little bit more about some of the things we've talked about. You can register from there as well, I see.
You can. It will take, our Polar Plunge website is separate, but it's right linked on the home screen of the Special Olympics website. And as James mentioned, that will tell you a little bit more about our sporting events and our other health programming, and if you'd like to learn more about Special Olympics in general.
Otherwise, polarplungewi.org, that's the other website you can go to register as well. Mm-hmm. Be sure to follow them on social media, Facebook. It's a great follow. If people have follow-up questions, Ashley, they want to know more, maybe how they can be a part of this, how can they reach you?
Yeah, there is a email address linked right on the homepage of the Polar Plunge website. I don't want to say it wrong, so I'm not going to say it at all.
Okay. I don't blame you.
If you reach out to that, it will connect you with the special events manager at the location you are registering for. So for the Rapids Plunge, it would direct you straight to me. I could answer any questions you have. My phone number